If you enjoy movies, comic books, and pop culture, be sure to like and subscribe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the REC Podcast, brought to you by REC Comics and Collectibles. I'm your host, Roman Chavez, and with me, as always,
Eric Icarus.
Eric!
What's up, man?
We've got the Big Tuna as well. Big Tuna.
The boys are back.
The boys are back in town. You know, we can't play it, so I'll hum it, all right?
We get sued?
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to take? What else do we got left? Can't even buy cords. You can follow us on Instagram at REC Podcast. Follow myself at Roman REC Podcast. You can follow the shop at REC Comics. Mm-hmm, you can come check us out at 7679 North Union Boulevard in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you can see the Big Tuna slinging sandwiches. Speaking of sandwiches,
going right into it. Okay,
sandwich time.
I got a question for you, boys.
Sure.
Okay. First question: what is the perfect sandwich to you? You go to your fridge.
Sure.
It's an infinite fridge. You can get any ingredients you want. Eric.
Yes.
What is your go to sandwich?
The sandwich.
Oh.
The sandwich is my absolute favorite sandwich. So, would you care to enlighten?
It's a Peruvian sandwich that I was taught that is a. It's called the lomo, if I'm saying that correctly. It's steak sautéed with tomatoes, red onions, and then a slurry which includes soy sauce and red vinegar. Mm-hmm. Makes like a nice sauce to go with it, and then you top it with potato sticks. I put it on focaccia. I think it comes with a different bread there, but I like the focaccia. It catches all that
sauce.
That juice.
Juice, yeah.
I make it for Eric for his birthday every year.
It is my absolute favorite sandwich. But if I cannot get the sandwich
okay.
I will have to go to the Reuben.
Oh, a Reuben.
Just something about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Jews are awesome.
So, it's
a great sandwich.
Mustard or Thousand Island? Or Russian dressing?
You know, I like them both. But I'm going to go with a good mustard. Start around with that. You know?
Yeah. I want mustard. I want sauerkraut.
Yes.
I'll take the it's not a pumpernickel. It's like a...
It's a rye.
Okay, I'll take the rye.
Like a marble rye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Marble rye we see a lot. Give me that, but on a Kaiser roll instead.
Ooh.
And I'm all about it.
Ooh.
I'm all about it. It just doesn't stack as well as it does on that, rye. All right. Big Tuna.
Yeah, I would actually go, like one of my just tried and true sandwiches is the Cubano.
Oh!
Good Cuban sandwich. I mean, my favorite's the, like, panini press.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the meats, you get the pickles, you get, like, kind of, like, a little bit of, like, a spicy, like, almost like a Dijon, and you give it, like, a butter bread panini down. Oh man, that's the way to go.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, it's ham. It's a slow cooked pork in a sour orange juice, and it's cooked in this like weird box, like in Cuba, or in Little Havana. It's cooked in this like very stylized box, and then pressed down really well. Mustard. I have never had one in Florida. I would love to. I don't think I can get to
like a Publix or anything.
But you know what though? Like that's not. But like as much as I like that, that's the sandwich I get. Like that's my out and about sandwich.
Mm.
But like my home sandwich is just a. It's a. I mean, it's pretty basic. Okay, but it's a club sandwich.
Yeah,
like it's easy. You could do. You know, I like to do like two layers, like bread in the middle, kind of the Big Mac style.
Nice.
Give me some lettuce. Get me some ham, some bacon if I, you know, got it. And that's sort of, like, I'll cook the bacon just to make the club sandwich. A couple of different kinds of mustards. I usually like doing, like, a Colby Jack and then sometimes a Swiss. But I'm like, hit or miss on the Swiss when it comes to the Cuban. Sometimes even just, like, a straight-up regular, like, a mild cheddar or something. Shout-out Tillamook. but I was looking for sponsors on the show. And then get me the, like, I like to do like the mustard mayo, like top and bottom, and then I invert it. So I get like mayo on one side of the bread and then mayo on the next side. Build up, scrunch down, put a toothpick in it, make your cuts, all that jazz.
Oh man, we shouldn't have done this. It's getting me real hungry. I go the same way as Eric. I like a good Reuben. I want mustard. And I want corned beef and pastrami.
Yes.
I want both.
That's the move.
If I can get both, I'm happy. If I can only take one.
Yeah, which one are you going? It's hard.
I think I go pastrami because I have pastrami so so little. Yeah, sure. I don't buy it a lot because I'd be the only one to eat it.
Sure. That you could say that for corned beef.
Yeah.
So. I'm gonna have to go pastrami as well.
Yeah.
But if I can get both,
I want both.
Doing both. Yes, absolutely.
I didn't expect this to be as salivating as it would, so I'm gonna ask you guys another question another time. All right.
I have my answer picked out and everything. I know.
It's fine. We're gonna put that one on the back.
So this was the segment we were calling Hoagies and Heroes.
Hoagies and Heroes. There we go. Yeah, we'll have to design some hero-based sandwiches. I was just curious.
You're totally missing like the easy layup there. We do the Greek style with like shaved lamb and like some sauce and like a little pita roll up, and it's superhero.
Yeah, there we
superhero.
Go. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And guys, I'm just hungry. We got to get off of this.
We're gonna have to start grinding out here.
There has been some news in the writer strike / SGA strike, and Big Tuna, if you could enlighten us on what is going on there.
Yeah, so not a lot's known about the specific deal that was reached between the studios and the Writers Guild, the WGA. We do know that they have since. The kind of the leadership essentially voted to like call for a vote to end the strike. It technically hasn't fully gone into effect yet, but it sounds like at this point now, the WGA is getting at least enough of what they were asking for in order to get this deal through and finally finish out the strike that was in place. They were asking for really kind of a restructuring of some of the deals. A lot of people didn't realize how little revenue was going to writers and people behind the scenes when it came to streaming performance of shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, it's one of those things where I've heard very valid arguments on both sides. I think it's very easy to look at the writers and say, like, oh, they're fully aggrieved and stuff like that. You know, at the same time... These contracts were made and often put in place without streaming being an option. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard about some members of the Screen Actors Guild and who are also on strike. This deal does not affect them. Although I would argue that likely this deal is going to kind of serve as a template to round out the negotiations between the studios and the actors. But the writers wanted kind of a more equitable pay scale when it came to the streaming revenue. They wanted certain guarantees about number of writers on staff, and some concerns about studios relying on AI, if you will, and kind of how that's going to become
Skynet or whatever.
Yeah, Sean Connor. Now the actors, they have some different beefs. A lot of times there was a lot of posts from members of the Screen Actors Guild that were essentially saying, here's my check on the residuals that I got from this show where I got a few dollars or something like that. And there's definitely some concern about whether or not they're getting any of the revenue sharing from the streaming services. However, it's also important to note that when these deals are reached, Gilmore Girls was brought up during one of the articles I was reading about the Screen Actors Guild and their particular concerns with the studios. They were talking about how Gilmore Girls was a pretty successful show on television. It moved to Netflix, and the viewership blew up to the point now where I think they're saying more people have watched Gilmore Girls on Netflix than like ever watched Gilmore Girls combined without it being on Netflix. Well, the actors are not receiving really anything from their show being on the streaming platform. Some have made the legitimate argument that they are owed and to be compensated for that happening. If it were showing in syndication on another network, they would be receiving residuals. However, and that's not to say that they don't have a point, I do think it's also important to consider that these deals are very difficult to future-proof. In the sense that, technology has changed so much since Gilmore Girls went off the air before streaming began that it's going to be impossible to create a contract that is able to adapt and change over time. And so I think this is kind of the natural progression as so much of entertainment and media has become streaming on demand, and therefore contracts need to reflect that. But at the same time, there's really no way to make a deal that's going to be future-proof, that's able to look too far ahead. Who knows, in 10 years from now, we're 10 years and change out from the last strike, 10 years from now, there could be all kinds of new concerns that are brought up. So, but at least right now, it's looking like the writer's strike is coming to an end. That does not mean that shows are going to go immediately back into production. Obviously, the Screen Actors Guild are still striking. Even if a deal is reached fairly quickly with the SAG, the actors union, it's probably not going to affect too many of the decisions that have already been made. Dune getting booted to 2024 was super disappointing for me. I don't see Warner Brothers pulling it back. Again, there was concern about the Cowards. Marketing of the movie. I know, yeah. But the spice must flow. but it might mean that TV shows and movie productions are able to get back on track sooner, and we're able to get some more product out. But the end is in sight, at least for the writers. The hope is that it is for the actors, and that we start getting some good quality content again soon, because I cannot stand to see more of these Monday Night Football doubleheaders.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, it's nice that there's some headway being made. You know, again, this is just, you know, one shoe, the other shoe still needs to drop for the actors and everything, but it's nice that we're going to be getting some, possibly an influx of news at some point here in the near future.
Sure.
Things that we're excited for, things that had already started production, and, you know, there are things that are going on that I haven't watched. I haven't watched Ahsoka yet, but I am going through Clone Wars.
Oh, nice.
And I'm on season 7. I'm on the last season, and oh my God, Eric, it's so good, you gotta watch it. I think, Jordan, you said you haven't seen it either?
I've seen like maybe 3 episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And nothing of Rebels. So I'm into the Ahsoka series. I've been following it and keeping up with it. There are a few moments where I'm like, okay, maybe this moment would hit different if I was more invested with this character, or like they'll mention a character and I'm just like, oh, all right, you know? So there are a few moments there where I felt like that. There are definitely some cool fan moments that have popped up as well. And right around the corner in October, we are getting all of Loki dropping here very soon, first week in October. So they moved up the release date, and that they were releasing all the episodes at once.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So we're gonna get a face full of Loki here. They've really stepped up the marketing for the show. I'm seeing it all the time during football games, it's quite clear Disney's trying to get behind it. Some of the commercials have featured the Victor Timely and some of these things. It's really not known how much Kang is going to play a role in the show.
It's feeling like a lot.
So I don't know. And again, you know, there are the allegations, the arrest of Jonathan Majors with his domestic dispute. Disney's not, it's clear that they're not stepping away from including him in the marketing, but also there's a lot about Loki that they don't want spoiled. There's a lot of stuff that they're going to have as surprises. So it may just be that the lack of him being in the marketing is simply because they want to hold off on some of the big stuff.
Dang, man. I'm not going to be able to, like, I'm not a young man anymore. I can't just burn through Loki in one shot, dude. Remember we used to do that, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever the Netflix shows came out, we would try to watch the entire season in one day.
And we most of the time did. Yeah. I think the only one we didn't get through was Iron Fist.
Yeah, and I was just so sad.
Oh, yeah. We got through the first 5, and I think I'm calling it. I was falling asleep.
Yeah, it was so bad.
I think we ended up writing somewhat writing a show called Iron Fisk. We were that bored.
Yeah.
It was just him cutting checks the whole time, which I would have been way more into than whatever we got with Finn. What's his name?
I don't even remember.
Finn Balor. Is that his name?
Finn Jones?
Vinny Jones? Finnicus?
Not Vinny Jones. Yeah. That's Juggernaut.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But it was just crap. It doesn't matter. But I think I see this as a desperate move on D Plus's part. I think, you know, they got their, you know, they're like, okay, we got to get more eyes on our product.
Yeah.
Let's go the Netflix route, like we said we weren't, and shove this whole show out.
Yeah.
I'm not as excited as I was for these D Plus shows. I think Loki's the only one I'm kind of sort of excited for, and I don't see myself watching the whole thing in one sitting. I mean, I probably will for this, but no, I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore, man.
Oh,
I'm getting burned. I'm getting burned, man. I'm losing interest. Interest is waning.
Well, you know,
but I'm loving the comics more, though.
What hasn't been burned and what's been pushing me forward is comics. I've been pretty good, very interesting, and we had mentioned it before, but the Predator versus Wolverine issue did come out. It is going to be a 4-part miniseries. It's got a few different writers, a few different artists that are prominent. My favorite, though, being Greg Land. I love Greg Land. But I thought it was going to be a one-shot. It is a four-part mini-series, and this first issue was good. So good, your boy Eric read it as well.
I did. I like a lot of the contrasts, story parallels to the first Predator movie.
Yes.
I'm not going to give anything away. Nope. I'm not really spoiling anything there. It's just cool how they're able to do this within the comic, within the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
The 616 universe. It's implying that things have been going on for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm digging it.
It's got some very interesting twists and turns. It's got some great setup. And I really do think that four issues is a really
perfect
good amount for this type of subject matter.
Right. Because I thought one shot is too little.
Yeah. I was worried.
You can't get enough in there. Yeah. For, like you said, I think a four-issue miniseries is perfect for this. You know, I think we'll get a... I'm actually stoked on this. I'm going to be reading them every time they come out.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Here's another cool cover here. Look at that one. Sick. Yes, it was. It actually sold out for me. I had to go to another shop locally and buy more. So it's definitely something that will be going to second print. You guys are going to, if you're interested in it, I'm bringing in some more of those later printings because, it's a really fun issue. Get to the chopper? Yeah, get to the chopper. Oh, my God. They're going to figure out a way to say that.
They have to, yeah.
They're going to figure out a way to say it. The one thing I will say to make you interested, because I had to sell one person and one person only, is that it takes place in three different time periods.
Yes, that's okay.
That's all I'll say.
We're not giving anything away there either.
It establishes it
pretty quick.
Yes.
And it is cool. It kind of makes me think about some of the other crossovers that Marvel and even DC have done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got Alien and Predator in comic book form before. Some of them were hit and miss. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones with the Predator, though, was with Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go for Batman. And everyone has that whole, like, oh, if Batman had enough time, you could beat... Yeah, anybody has enough time, you can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And
dude, fire is my weakness, okay? I'll just let you guys know.
Bullets are mine.
Yeah.
And I think it's... The way that they did it in the first one was so cool.
Yeah.
How Predator... You know, mild spoilers. Predator gets the drop on old Brucio. And it's... cool to hear Bruce's inner monologue, how he's fighting the Predator.
Yeah.
And what he's got to do and how he has to escape. Obviously, you know, we get to the second one. He wins in the first one, but there wouldn't be a second one.
Yeah.
But he does get prep time in the second one.
Oh.
Doesn't fare much better for old Brucio.
Oh, man.
So I would go out and read that. If you can find him, I'm sure you can get it on the app.
The next big crossover, though, that people are going to be talking about is going to be Justice League versus Kong versus Godzilla. And that's real. I'm not making that up. That is coming out. That's coming out. Yeah, that is coming out here in about a month.
No, don't do it.
Yeah. And it is... it's going to be, you know, because they're like, oh, Wolverine, Predator, let's do Kong and
Godzilla
and the Justice League. So that one's going to be a little ridiculous, but...
Why would they do that?
Dude, so we are getting... I'm actually pretty stoked for this. We are getting an Apple TV series that is in the Kong Godzilla universe, and it features an older, grizzled Kurt Russell and his son Wyatt playing the younger version of
him. Okay.
We also get John Goodman. I think we're getting Ken Watanabe. So we're giving us kind of like the Monarch people from the Godzilla universe.
Oh,
and like
okay.
What they did to like try to keep these like animals contained and like understand them. And it looks like a very high production value. The trailer for the show looks like a movie.
Interesting.
So that looks pretty interesting. I'm very excited for the Planet of the Apes crossover with Constantine. Because I'd like to know if Dr. Zaius has a soul or not.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I think we could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they are doing a Planet of the Apes. They did a Planet of the Apes Green Lantern.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. They did. It was long-winded and ridiculous and hilarious.
Was it Hal that gets transferred to Earth?
Yes, yeah, same type of concept, right. Coming back to an alternate Earth, but, you know, the monkey, and some of
I
the,
can sing,
and like, Sinestro's with him as well, so Sinestro gets the apes together, it's absolutely ridiculous, but
I kind of want to read that.
Very, very cool covers, very cool concept.
I mean, I know they've done X-Men and Star Trek.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting to see Spock put the old Vulcan neck pinch on Wolverine, and worked.
Yeah,
which I guess it would.
Well, we got nerves. Didn't we get a Ghostbusters Transformers?
Yep, we got Ghostbusters Transformers, My Little Pony Ghostbusters, My Little Pony Transformers, all that Hasbro stuff.
See, My Little Pony versus Predator.
Yeah, like, that's the one I want.
There's an Archie versus Predator.
There is an Archie.
That's right. There's an Archie and Punisher.
There is. A lot of weird crossovers.
There's a Punisher M&M book that's actually worth money.
Tons of money, yeah. I don't even know how you got it, to be honest.
One of those weird... Maybe it came with a CD.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Very strange.
That is effing hilarious, dude.
Kids, before we go, I do want to ask my original question now that my hunger has subsided. In the land of the BLT,
okay,
the three-letter sandwich,
uh-huh.
I'm not a big fan of the T. Not a big fan of it.
You don't like tomatoes?
I'm not only cooked tomatoes. I don't like raw tomatoes at all, unless they're very sweet with some olive oil and some stuff. But give me a good three-letter sandwich. Yeah, you get anything in there. You get bread and you get one condiment. Okay. So
mine is going to be sans a condiment.
Okay.
This is a sandwich that I actually make, and it's kind of weird.
Sandwich mood, guys. I'm hungry.
And it's going to sound weird, but try it. It is flipping awesome. I guess the it would be a has. So it's ham, apple, and sharp cheddar on a wheat bread. It is flipping amazing.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. It's so good.
Wow,
you gotta have the sharp cheddar. That's the kicker to the sandwich.
I like a good sharp cheddar.
Yeah, so try it out there, kids. It's sliced apple, some ham, and that sharp cheddar.
Big tuna. You got a three ingredient sandwich.
Yeah. Well, I'll pivot. I'll give you the three letter sandwich. I'm gonna give you a four letter sandwich. Okay. Right? Give me the lettuce. Give me the guac. Give me the bacon and the tomato. For an LGBT.
I like it.
But my three-letter sandwich, my go-to, and I get so much crap from this, from friends, from family, from social media, from the officer that pulled me over last week. This is not a homemade sandwich, keep in mind. Give me a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, no pickles, and grape jelly.
That sounds good, actually. It's almost like a Monte Carlo.
It's almost like a Monte Carlo. I'll tell you this.
Monte Cristo.
Yeah. No, but the way I do it, it's a Monte Carlo, okay? The way I do it, yeah.
It's a Monte Carlo. Yeah, that's what it is.
When I'm done, it's a Casino Royale.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, there's something about the crispiness of the sandwich, the chicken. You get the sweet and the savory together in a bite. I once went to a Chick-fil-A and asked for grape jelly, and they were like, oh, we don't have that because it's breakfast. And then when I started working for Chick-fil-A, they're like, oh, whoever told you that was lying. They're like right here next to all of the other condiments we have access to. And so every now and then I'll do it because I don't want to spoil myself, you know? Because I'm afraid I'll ruin it, but it's a nice little treat every now and then, like a cigar, you know, that you eat.
Yeah.
Like a cigar. I don't know how to smoke cigars. Not even better.
In a BLT, I get rid of the tomato. Give me some pickles. I like that. I like that vinegary in the thing.
Sure.
But my kind of go to, like when I was single, poor, my comfort late night snack when I'm sneaking food at night to hide my shame.
Like certain unwanted house guests that we know.
Yes. give me mayo, any bread, whatever bread I got. Hard salami, the sliced hard salami. Salt and pepper on the mayo, and then just a slice, of cheese. That's all I need.
Really?
Just simple. Now don't get me wrong. I could have like a 20 ingredient sandwich and be very happy.
Oh yeah.
I love
you are the master of sandwiches.
I'm a man of sandwiches. I spoke so much about it that I'm gonna have to make something nice when I get home.
I think so, man. I mean, could you? Okay, so in the spirit of this, do you consider a burrito a sandwich?
No.
It's bread.
If anything, it's a wrap.
What about a hot dog?
Yeah, that's a bread. That's what I'm saying. I'm posing the question. I think if a sandwich wants to identify as something else, it's totally okay.
I think a hot dog is a sandwich.
Okay.
I do.
But not the burrito or a taco.
Because a hot dog is a sandwich the same way a lobster roll is a sandwich.
Okay.
So you have the split top bun.
Sure.
You got the feet. Yeah, it is.
I think the thing with the taco is it's one piece. You can just fold it over. Like a pita. Pita is considered a sandwich.
Hmm.
So yeah, not lots to chew on there, kids.
Yeah. Oh man, he just he is knocking them out, kids. That's our show. If you like what we're doing, please hit that subscribe button. Click that little bell. If you've got a sandwich idea, come in the shop. We can talk about it. Or leave a comment below. Give me a 3-ingredient sandwich. Remember, you get a topping and a bread, but give me 3 other things that need to go.
We need
in
to
there.
Invent a sandwich called the Fogel.
The Fogel. Yeah, like from Superbad. Yeah, like that.
Or, well, I thought you were gonna say like, because it'll touch you from the inside.
Yeah, that too. Oh, or gosh. I was gonna do the old like, it's 31-year-old meat between 2-year-old buns.
Oh, interesting, kids. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. I gotta wrap these kids up like a delicious sandwich,
like a Fogel.
Eric, do you have any final thoughts for us?
Sorry for the Fogel vibes.
Yeah, and for the big tuna. We will catch you on the next podcast.